Hello, respected viewers. Here I am outside Seaview Cottage, 115 Hurst Street, Oxford. And this is where the Reverend Father David Johnson resided from 1995 for about 20 years. It had to move into a nursing home. He lived in Abingdon, then one in North Oxfordshire, and then he died in April 2020 during coronavirus. Didn't die of coronavirus, I don't think, but had more or less stopped drinking. Seemed like some slow motion suicide. So the Reverend Father David Johnson, if you want to know about him, you ought to purchase Absolutely Stunning for sale in good bookshops everywhere or Amazon Kindle. A shameless plug for my magnum opus. Anyway, so he also going on how it was a slum area of East Oxford. It's really not that bad at all. It's very middle class, but then almost the whole of Oxford is middle class these days. But he was put out to grass by the Church of England for disgracing himself, because they threatened to have him defrocked. But he said that he would fight it all the way, go to the newspapers. They found it very embarrassing. So they gave him this house for free. It's a two-bedroom house, a bit of a garden at the back. It was an absolute tip. I'm very untidy. Just look at me. Even I think it was a disaster zone. So that was his little bomb site. And then he got a fat pension. And he was retired on health grounds at the age of 42. As a positively juvenile age to be retired. I mean, it was dipsomania, it was his health problem. But the church preferred to say he was retired early on the grounds of ill health. Now, he wasn't that ill. He lived on for another 25 years. And considering how he hit the bottle and abused his liver something rotten, it's a minor miracle that the National Health Service managed to keep him alive so long. He said he liked cooking for people, but I mean, I'm not aware that he ever cooked for anyone there, maybe just himself. He was a real alcoholic. Subsisting on alcohol only. I only once ever remember him eating something. He did go to a few Alka dinners, and I was put on the naughty table with him. But him and John Whitehead and others, as far away from the guest of honour as possible, so we couldn't disgrace them. But I don't remember him actually eating anything. Maybe he did at these. He certainly drank. What else about Father Johnson? So, in case you don't know, he was born in December 1953, the same year as Tony Blair, but they're the similarity between the two stops. So he was born in, was it Leicester, something like that? But as a baby, moved to Newcastle upon Tyne, and he grew up there in northeast England. His father was a small-time civil servant. His mother was a North Briton. Anyway, he went to Dame Allen's school there, and he spoke in this clipped accent, which sounded like a BBC newsreel circa 1939. He put that down to his headmaster having been an aide-de-camp to, who was it, Earl Mountbatten of Burma. So other things about him, he was small, he was about 5'3", and when he was born, his father said, does he have footballer's legs, which he assuredly did not, was no good at sport. He was brought up in one of the nonconformist churches, which he found tedious and judgmental. So he went into the Church of England and said it was full of light and colour and music, beautiful architecture and everything that represented positivity. So he converted to the Church of England. Anyway, he went to Selwyn College, Cambridge, to read theology. He was no good at Latin, so he couldn't come to Oxford in those days, because he had to do ancient Greek or Latin or one of those, or Hebrew. So he managed to get through with a 2-2. He was told in advance that he was going to get a 2-2. There are only three people doing his particular course, whether it was systematic theology or whatever. They couldn't very well fail one third of the year. But he was elected president of the Cambridge Union, and he served in that capacity in 1976. He was always getting up to hijinks and pranks. There was an unpopular don in his college. And then he told the new boys, it being an all-male college in the 70s, they had to put a urine sample on this Don's desk by a certain time and things like that. Or silly things like some ceremony called the bathing of the high professor. And then he would accost Japanese tourists in the streets and say they had to stand on one foot for a minute whilst the professor came along and in his full academic regalia ceremonially removed one shoe and one sock and dipped a toe into the River Cam, and he was into the theatre of the absurd, and that's why he lived his whole life like performance art. So what else about Father David Johnson? Because I was thinking how he had the blandest ever name, but he seemed to be living that down by having the most extravagant, flamboyant and outrageous lifestyle. So he decided he wanted to go into the clergy because other paths were closed to them. You know, he couldn't be a teacher, be laughed out of the classroom. If he was a diplomat, that would cause World War III in one day. And he didn't have the patience to be a civil servant. He'd worked as a civil servant at his university holidays, found it incredibly dull. like his father. And what else? He didn't have the academic ability or the seriousness of mind to go into the law. So what else was he to do? Finance, you can just forget it. So the church represented theatricality to him, high social status, the establishment linked to royalty, and he was a fervent monarchist. Anyhow, so he wanted to go to the Durham College of Cuddesdon, or whatever it's called, Cuddesdon College, just outside Oxford. So he asked his college chaplain to write him a recommendation, and his college chaplain hated David Johnson, but he hated Cuddesdon even more. So in his effort to destroy Cuddesdon, he penned a glowing reference. Now, he made it into Cuddesdon, and he did two not very happy years. He found it quite dull, but he said there was this homosexual subculture there. These in the days when it was still very much disapproved of the Church of England. They had to do fire walking and then ring a bell if they thought there was a fire. And then we say 10 single bedrooms down one corridor, ring the bell at night, and 12 young men would come out because they were sharing beds, some of them. That was his story anyway. So he was ordained into the Church of England. I can't remember if he was a deacon. And was it St. Eth's in Fulham? He was a vicar there. He was part of a Father's Day extravaganza in about 1981. But they were only fathers in the ecclesiastical sense, these priests. So he got a job on the Church Board of Mission and Unity or whatever at Church House, Westminster, as in that's the next to the Church of England's administration. And he was in charge of relations with the black churches and the Catholic Church.
Hello, Karen.
So he managed to pull strings for people, getting a French cardinal flown home on an RAF plane when he couldn't get home on time for something or other. What else did he do? He rather liked the colour of the Catholic Church, but never seems to have considered crossing the Tiber. He did say he met Pope John Paul II on one occasion, but didn't kiss his ring because it wasn't a sufficiently formal occasion. Obviously, this is a lot of this stuff straight from the horse's mouth. I'm not sure how true this is. And after a few years, he was sent out on the parishes. And he was in Leicestershire, first of all, at Cogganhoe. It looks like Cogganhoe, Cogenhoe, but apparently it's pronounced Cooknoe. But he did not like it over much. He said it's spelled Cogganhoe, pronounced fuck. But he was disgracing himself there. He and the magistrates agree he wouldn't drive anymore because he got drink driving so many times. And then he was translated into another diocese, another parish. But there was a complete breakdown of parochial relations. As an obituary said, he patronised the local hostelry assiduously, as in he was getting drunk everywhere. So he was such a disgrace that they had to retire him early. And then he came here, where he was always to be found propping up the bar at the Oxford Union. But he's put on an alcohol ban there and in virtually every other licensed establishment in the city. Guinness Extra Curled was his tipple, carrying a few cans and a hip flask of whiskey. He did not get a lot of mileage. He didn't get many miles to the pint, or indeed the dram. So that was the Reverend Father David Johnson. I could go on about him all day. And that is where he lived. Lucky duck. What a lovely, lovely, lovely house he had for one person. You wouldn't get that now. He was also generationally fortunate. A generation earlier, university education would have been beyond his means. A generation later, his antics would not have been tolerated. What would have become of had he been born in my generation is difficult to speculate. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.